Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go, fourth and final hour on a Tuesday, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Those are the numbers that get you on in up until the top of the hour when JR Sport Brief does come your way. Many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. At Zach Gelb on Twitter, make sure you answer our poll question. When we ask you, if you are a team that needs a quarterback, would you give up three first-round picks and then some to get the number one overall pick and draft Joe Burrow? Right now, 70.6% say no, that's way too much, and 29.4% say yes, Joe is worth it. We're also asking you a question on Twitter, and it has to do with the NFL adding two extra teams to the postseason, seven in the AFC and seven in the NFC. And when we take a look at that question, we want to know, with an extra playoff team being added to each NFL conference, who is the first team that you think of that will benefit the most from this in 2020? So you get your answers in at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, and we'll read the best answers by the time we say goodbye to you at the top of the hour. It's time for a news brief, though. Stuart Kovacs, hit it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, we start off with Tom Brady Sr. He was on the Radio.com Raising Fame show, and he was asked, is this decision by Tom Brady, does he classify it in his eyes, you know, being the father of Tom Brady, as a divorce from Bill Belichick? This is Tom Brady Sr. on Radio.com's Raising Fame.
I think it's just change. I don't know that it's a divorce or change. I just think, you know, 20 years together is a long time.
Yes, it is.
It's like being married 50 years.
And so, you know, I mean, I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Bill is the best coach in football. I mean, Tommy sings Bill's praises. So a divorce sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation. You know, Bill's got a lot of responsibilities to keep the Patriots on track, and that is a bigger responsibility than keeping Tommy under the hood. So, you know, both of them are mature individuals, and I really respect Bill's decision and respect Tommy's decision as well. It's okay to take different paths. You don't have to stay joined at the hip.
Here's the big question, and we've asked this before, and it's been asked ever since the decision. Was this Belichick saying goodbye to Brady, or Brady saying goodbye to Belichick? Stuart Kovacs, is this Brady saying goodbye to Belichick, or Belichick saying goodbye to Brady?
I think it's Brady saying goodbye to Belichick at this point.
Really? Okay, I think it's Belichick saying goodbye to Brady, because Brady was waiting for an offer to come, and there was never no offer made. He was waiting for Robert Kraft to drag, you know, to lunge at his ankle and have Brady drag him outside of the house and then eventually say, okay, Robert, I'll come back, or Belichick finally to blink first and get that offer. You know, why do you think this is Brady saying goodbye to Belichick more so than Belichick saying goodbye to Brady? I'm just fascinated by the response.
Because although I do think he was open to coming back, Brady that is, I think that he was, in the end, he wasn't happy with what they put around him. And I think he kind of feels like he has something to prove, which is part of the reason why he chose Tampa Bay.
Let me ask you this. If the Patriots came to him, and I'm not saying this is all about money, but let's just make it about money in this case. If they gave him the same offer that the Buccaneers gave him, is he a Patriot or a Buck?
I mean, I still think he's a Buck. I think he still would have left.
I think he would have been a Patriot. But, you know, even it may have been even if they would have offered at least something, I think he would have been a Patriot. But they never really made him that offer. And reportedly, Belichick called him, and this is from Dale Arnold, and said, the contract that made, this is the only thing that's ever been talked about, maybe what they offered him this year, this offseason, was, we could give you a year, but it's going to be less than what you made last year. That's pretty much, to me, if that reporting's true, Belichick saying, Tom, here are the signs, we don't want you anymore. Now, I think that's the wrong decision. Patriots going to go to Jarrett Stidham. I don't know if Jarrett Stidham's going to be good. But if you ask me, would you rather have two more years or another year of Tom Brady or Jarrett Stidham right now? Yeah, I would rather go with Tom Brady. I really do believe that this was Belichick saying goodbye to Brady more so than Brady saying goodbye to Belichick. And that's why I even think you get Tom Brady Sr. saying that it isn't a divorce. So there you go. That's Tom Brady Sr. once again on Radio.com's Raising Fame show. Let's go to a CBS Sports radio show, the show that's on before us, our good friends, Brandon Tierney and Tiki Barber, had on Wade Phillips, who's actually going to join us coming up tomorrow. And this is Wade Phillips' reaction to Tom Brady leaving the Patriots.
I think everybody was. I'd be surprised if you weren't surprised, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been there so long and, you know, and won so many championships and, you know, really been proven he's probably the best of all time, so you don't expect him to leave.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to leave either. I was convinced Brady was going back to the Pats, and boy, oh boy, was I wrong. That Tampa team, though, it's attractive. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and now Tom Brady. He got number 12. That was announced today. What's Chris Godwin doing getting nothing, though, in return for it? So you have some options there. Howard and Brate, too. You got Jones running the football. You need to add another running back. And defensively, you have the sack leader from a year ago in Shaq Barrett and some other nice pieces as well. And Bruce Arians coaching the team. There's a lot of options there in Tampa Bay. But even with all that being said, Brady in a Bucs uniform, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. Still feels bizarre to say. So I'm with Wade. I'm surprised about it. Let's go to Michael Brockers. He was supposed to go to the Ravens, and now he's going back to the Rams. He was on with the franchise, Jim Rome, right here on CBS Sports Radio earlier today. Let's listen up to Michael Brockers.
It feels awesome, man. I'm a man that's a religious man, and I feel like everything happens in a way that God plans it. And, you know, for me, at first, you know, I thought that was my next journey was Baltimore, but ultimately he had a plan to keep me in L.A. and, you know, around the people I'm used to, the coaches that love me, and I love them back. And, you know, man, just appreciate working for these guys.
Let's hear more from Michael Brockers. And he makes a comparison to maybe the man that is the best player in the draft. He'll probably go number two, though, as I think Burrow's going one to the Bengals, and then you'll have Chase Young going two to the Washington Redskins. But Michael Brockers made a little player comparison to someone that he knows very well when talking about Chase Young, also on the Jim Rome show.
It just reminded me of AD. You know, AD has that mindset. It's not about the money. He definitely appreciates the blessing, but, you know, for him, is always dominating. It's never, you know, having a play where, you know, you feel like that was a bad play on my part, my bad. Man, he's always chasing greatness, always trying to improve, always working. Man, he's not complacent, and that's what I love about him, and it motivates me.
Man, those are some high words of praise from Michael Brockers to compare Chase Young to Aaron Donald. But it's actually not the first time that you obviously have heard Chase Young get compared to a pretty big name, and Aaron Donald may be the preeminent defensive player in the league. Now, Paul Alexander, I heard this once on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Paul Alexander, longtime offensive line coach. So his job for years was to get players ready to go up against the best defensive ends, best defensive tackles, and all that. Paul Alexander's player comp for Chase Young, wait for it, Lawrence Taylor. My, oh, my. So you have Paul Alexander comparing Chase Young to Lawrence Taylor, and then you have Michael Brockers comparing Chase Young to Aaron Donald. I can't wait to see Chase Young play football in the NFL. Loved him at Ohio State. Let's go to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. We'll stay with the Jim Rome show. He was talking about how long it will take players to be ready for game action once they get the okay. And then we find out that baseball's coming back whenever that may be.
I think 2 weeks. I think that, you know, once we get that soft opening or soft start for a spring training, then I think guys will have time to really start to ramp up. So then when we do get there, 2 weeks will suffice. And I do think that that also, you know, with the understanding that the rosters are going to be expanded, where there's got to be extra pitchers, a handful, if not more. And you've got to have that latitude to kind of, you know, when the spring training we've talked about before, where the reentry rule for pitchers to go out after 15, 20 pitches to go bring somebody else in to get Clayton Kershaw back in there so he can get ramped up, because the fans, they want to see the start. So they've got to give managers, organizations, whatever latitude we need to get the superstars out there and the players out there once we get going.
Let's also hear from Dave Roberts reacting to the Dodgers acquiring not only Mookie Betts, but also David Price in one offseason, also in the Jim Rome show.
It was a loud yell. It was a popping of champagne because, man, it just doesn't happen where guys in their prime, you know, you've got a former Cy Young winner who is thrilled to be a Dodger and to be on the West Coast, spent his entire career on the East Coast in David Price. And then you've got arguably the best player, you know, obviously Mike Trout, and right behind him is Mookie Betts.
So, hey, for the Dodgers, you know this. When baseball does resume, Dodgers are going to be the clear-cut favorite in the NL. And we've heard that before. Now they got to get there. And Price looks as happy as could be. He didn't like Boston. And Mookie Betts is a heck of a player. And, you know, wouldn't that be crazy? Stu, I just thought about this. Imagine baseball doesn't have a season. Mookie Betts, the final year of his contract. He wouldn't even get to play with the Dodgers. I hope that's not the case. I think we'll get baseball back. But a lot of people are going to have that collision course of Dodgers and Yankees in the postseason and in the playoffs and, you know, in the World Series, and we'll see if that ends up happening. I also would not mind Astros and Dodgers. Now, a lot of people, I think we forget what happened with the Astros a little bit with what's going on in our world. That was the number one story for a while. That even overtook the NFL postseason at times with what happened with the Astros. You give me the Dodgers and the Astros in a postseason in the World Series, woo, sign me up for that right now. Steve Kerr joined us last night on the show. Here's Steve Kerr talking about what it's been like to coach this team this year.
Well, I have great faith in Adam Silver and the league's leadership, and I know that because of the nature of what's happening, there's really probably a dozen different scenarios that they could come up with and that they're having to plan for, because nobody knows how long this is going to last. So, you know, our team wasn't going anywhere. We've already been eliminated from the playoffs. So I'm not concerned about us. I feel really bad for the teams that are contenders, that have, you know, built their teams with this year in mind, you know, teams like the Clippers, Lakers, Boston, Toronto, and others. I know I'm leaving several out. And, you know, all these clubs, or even teams like Memphis that have been in the playoffs for the last few years, and they've had these great seasons. Oklahoma City's having a fantastic year. You know, those are the teams I think about because we've had a lot to look forward to. So I definitely hope that all of those teams are able to perform in some kind of a playoff format. And obviously we have to keep everything our priority, health and safety of our fans and players, number one. But assuming we can do that, And I would love to see all those teams that have earned the chance to compete in the playoffs be able to do so.
A little miscommunication there. That was obviously Steve Kerr talking about the leadership of Adam Silver and also how he wants to see a postseason go on in some type of way once it's okay from a safety standpoint. We were also talking with Steve Kerr about what it is like to coach this team after so many years of going to the playoffs and going to the finals. And he actually said it was fun this year. Now, doesn't want people to go run with that and seem as if he's enjoying it 100% of the time. It was fun to develop some young talent and really get back to teaching fundamentals, because he was talking about how for so many years of the Warriors, it was a well-oiled machine, and he pretty much just let it work the way that it was, because it was working so well once they did win that first championship. So he did talk about how the losing's frustrating, but how this year it's also been fun, too, with the way that he's been able to teach some of the younger players on that roster. If you missed that interview, by the way, at Zach Yelb on Twitter, also on our CBS Sports Radio website, you can find that interview in the link to my bio, or also just right on the CBS Sports Radio website. Just go to my page, the Zach Yelb Show. And finally, one of our favorites, Larry David, has a message about the coronavirus and what we should be doing.
Hello, I'm Larry David. Obviously, somebody put me up to this, because it's generally not the kind of thing I do. But I basically want to address the idiots out there. And you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright, but here it is. Go home, watch TV. That's my advice to you. You know, if you've seen my show, nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and you know, don't see anyone. Except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency, let the plumber in and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it. Okay.
Words of wisdom from the great, and I mean great, Larry David. There's your news brief, 18 past the hour. It is the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to hear from Mike Biseglia, the great producer for the Zach Yelb Show extravaganza. Mike Biseglia did test positive for the coronavirus. His wife did as well. Mikey B is going to share his story next. We'll take a timeout. Zach Yelb Show.
You're listening to the Zach Yelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Yelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. When I sound like you're listening to a great radio show, it's not because of me. It's because of the guys behind the scenes. Mike Biseglia does a fantastic job. Tom DiBenedetto does a great job, too. And also whoever's working with us the next few days. You know, we've had a good crew with Essig. You know, also had Stu Kovacs doing a brilliant job tonight. So whenever when I sound good, it's really not me. And then when I sound bad, I'm not going to blame it on Mikey B or D-Ben or Stu. Then it's on me. So, you know, we say all this, and, you know, I mean this immensely. You know, we've now been on CBS Sports Radio with this new show, January, February. It's been 3 months, and we're approaching now month number four. And someone who's instrumental and imperative in the success of our show is the great Mike Biseglia, who is now being a guest on the show that he produces, because we're not all together with what happened with COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic. And Mike actually tested positive for COVID-19, and his wife did as well, and the great Mike Biseglia is here with us. Mike, first off, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Zach. Thank you very much for the kind words, the strong introduction. I appreciate that. And it's okay if something goes wrong, you can blame me. That's not a problem.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just wondering through this entire conversation. You know, I'm glad that you called in on time since you're the producer, and sometimes you get mad at people for not calling in on time. And I'm also happy that your phone connection is somewhat decent. You know, if your phone drops out, that's on you, not us.
Well, that's kudos to Stu. I actually called in, and I was on my Bluetooth. I was like a mile away from the phone. He was like, hey, I'm sorry, but can you get off the Bluetooth? Then I actually went to my speaker phone. He said, hey, Mike, can you get off your speaker? I said, you know what? Good call. I'm going to take the phone, hold it, ear, mouth, the whole deal the right way.
And for people that can't tell, these are all things that Mike has to deal with on a daily basis. When you have a guest live on the air, go to Bluetooth and then mute himself, and you see Mikey B freak all out. You don't see it, you know, obviously through the radio because you can only listen to us, but I get to see it all behind the scenes, and it does make me laugh whenever we go through something crazy on the show. So, you know, all kidding aside, Mike, take me back. You know, it was March 17th that night, leading into the early hours of March 18th when you first got sick. Take me through what you were feeling and what was going through your mind.
Sure. All right. So that was a Tuesday evening. I went to bed. So let me just backtrack a little bit. So earlier in the weekend, I had beer, and I never have beer anymore. It's something I'm like trying to stay away from because it gives me this terrible gout. And if anybody's ever experienced gout, it is awful. So I've like just cut beer out of my diet pretty much. But everybody's quarantined. We're in the house. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm having beer again. So with that is like a little bit of a backdrop. Tuesday, I went to bed, and I would say right around midnight, like right as the clock turned to Wednesday, I woke up in the middle of the night and had this like panic attack. I went, oh my God, I forgot to throw out the trash. I totally spaced out the trash. Because normally what happens is when I leave the radio show at night, I get home typically between like 11:30 and midnight. I come home and I take out the trash. It's like the first thing I do. But I stayed home that day, worked from home, and just clicked in my head in the middle of the night, oh my God, I didn't take out the trash. So I get up to go get out the trash. And when I got up, I was like, I do not feel right. And I felt flu-like. And because I had not a lot, but just a couple of beers earlier on the weekend, I said, oh, no, I'm going through a gout syndrome, because when I would get gout, I get fevers, and my body, like, is weird. It gets a fever and tries to work it out and sweat it out. So my first reaction was, oh, no, I'm having a gout attack. But something felt a little bit different about it. It was just coming on a lot stronger than normal, and I definitely ran a high fever that night. I could not find the thermometer, and I just was like, let me fight through this. And eventually I just said, I can't take this anymore. And I decided to take some ibuprofen and took that and felt a lot better, fell asleep. And I woke up, I think the next day, like really late, like at 10:45. I slept in way longer than I normally would and woke up that morning, felt a little better. And then progressively I felt this fever coming on again. At that point, I'm like, okay, this is definitely not gout. And I had this strange headache that I was feeling. I never get either. So this strange headache was coming on. My fever kept going up. And at this point I said, I got to get to the doctor. So my wife helped me out, called our doctor, which then directed us to one of those like minute clinic types of places where they were administering tests. Got there, which was super creepy too, because it's like everybody trying to stay away from each other. I felt guilty even going in there around the nurses and the doctors and the receptionists, the people behind the counter. I was like, I don't know what I have. I don't want to get anybody sick. But you fill out all this information, you're like bubbles, you know, like a bubble suit. It felt like, you know, tapping things with gloves, the whole deal. Went in, got my temperature taken, had a high fever. They did not have the COVID-19 test. They had the regular flu test. Took that, came back within 10 minutes. They said that was negative, went directly home, took Tylenol, went in bed. Finally, because my temperature went down, the Tylenol ate, have my appetite back, and I ate a ton of wonton soup and chicken fried rice. And it was like the best meal I ever had in my life. And then just passed out, woke up the next day.
Wait, Mike, real quickly, Mike Pasaglia here with us. So, when did you eat the wonton soup and the chicken fried rice? Because when you're sick, you usually don't eat that stuff. So you started to feel a little bit better. When was that?
I took the Tylenol, and I'm telling you, man, like instantaneously, like the fever went away. It was like
on the 18th.
It was on the 18th. Yeah.
Okay. So the same day.
So the fever went down. It was like boom. It was like a drug. I mean, it was a drug. It hit me. It was like bam. Like I did not eat anything all day, and it gave me then this like pocket of time where I felt good. So my appetite came back. Like I just remember eating so much food that night. I felt great from taking the Tylenol. I was good, but the second the Tylenol wore off, boom, fever would come back, and then these weird headaches. Like I can't explain. It was just the strangest headache. It almost felt like you took like a sleeping pill, but the sleeping pill just never wore off. And anytime you cough, it was like it was a zing to the head. So I was fortunate enough on Friday to get a COVID test, and then just through Tylenol and time, it eased to get better. I will say Friday night was the only night I felt symptoms of tough breathing. I felt it that night, and I didn't have the results yet. So it's a weird feeling because you don't know if it's in your head, like, oh, my God, am I having a hard time breathing because I actually feel sick? Or, you know, I just took a COVID-19 test today. Maybe I'm kind of taking this in a mental approach. But, you know, now looking back, as the test came back positive, I definitely was having some weird, weird breathing that night, Friday into Saturday. And I will say Saturday into Sunday, I think I slept. Fell asleep Saturday at 9 o'clock, woke up Sunday at 11 o'clock. I mean, I slept a lot. And Sunday morning, I woke up and I was like, okay, I feel a little better. And then it was really just like a sore throat that just would not go away for the next 4 days.
So you got the test on March 20th, that Friday. Take us through the testing procedure and how you got the test, because I know other people that have been trying to get a test, and they call 3-4 places, and they've had no luck. So take me through the testing process and how you got the test.
Yeah, so luckily for me, I mean, luckily and then unluckily at the same time. So I ran a really high fever, just above 102, and then it just so happens that my wife is also pregnant and had been around me for, you know, we were in the car forever together. I mean, you know, husband and wife, just around each other. It was just before I, you know, even had symptoms. So with that being said, as a backdrop, super high fever, and then also my wife being pregnant, that got me able to get a test. And so with that being said there, had a test, I think it was at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember exactly, but I remember I got to it 20 minutes ahead of time. And it was across the street from our hospital, and it was a drive-through test center. So I got there 20 minutes early, and I was lucky, too. I was the first one there because the line started to pour behind me. I would say probably like 10 to 15 cars, and I'm glad I was first, to be completely honest and selfish, because it would have really been annoying to wait and watch other people do the test. So I got to the test center. I showed my ID through the window, did not roll it down, but, you know, kind of just stuck my official license ID at the window. They saw that, took the information, got them to the this tent. A doctor pulled out, completely dressed, you know, looked like he was going in space, you know. It's creepy, it's scary, but I get it. I don't want to do the same thing, especially how close you're getting to people. And they put a long stick, you know, like a tooth, like a stick down my throat, swabbed it, and then went up each nostril. And it was a weird sensation because it goes a couple inches up, and I instantly just started to tear up in my eyes because it was a sensation that I had never felt before. It was odd. Instantly teared up. They said 2 to 6 days will be the results. 6 days later, got the results.
So you get the results, and I know at the time, just talking to you, as our great producer Mikey B is here with us, you were pretty much locked in your room, and your wife was leaving you food at the door. Even your cat, yeah, Leon, was running up to the door, and you weren't even letting the cat in the room. And so you have that. You end up getting the positive test result on, I believe, the 26th, I think it was. But then your wife, who's pregnant, which, by the way, congrats to Jess. We talked about this off the air. We thought we were going to have this big special reveal on the air, but then circumstances did change. You know, Mike calls me up one week very early into the show, and he goes, I got to tell you something. No one else knows this. I don't want to get you in trouble, but you go, this person doesn't know this. So this is how it's very important news. I go, what's the matter, Mike? He goes, nothing's the matter. He goes, my wife's pregnant. I go, awesome. And then my next thought is, congratulations, but when can we start talking about this on the show? And obviously, we're never able to talk about it with all that happened with the coronavirus pandemic. Sure. So I just want to say congratulations to you and your wife first. But also, there's got to be a little fear here because your wife's pregnant. There's a lot of unknown what's going on. Your wife ends up getting sick, and she tests positive. So take us through that, too.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, too. I mean, to be completely honest, like the anxiety of things get her sick was in a lot of ways worse than the actual coronavirus, which was annoying and it was sick, but like the fear in my head of just knowing, okay, what's down the road with her and knowing how close we were. And we tried everything we could, you know, once I started feeling symptomatic, I mean, it was like we were in the same house, but I basically was in the main, we have two bedrooms. You know, I was just in the main bedroom quarantined by myself, which has a bathroom, thankfully, for how many days that was, 4 or 5 days, that you're just stuck in this room. And, you know, when you're feeling sick, it's no big deal. The second you start to feel a little better, it's like, oh, my God, how do I get out of this thing? But you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah, she would leave meals at the door. I would open them up, take it in, you know, finish the meal, take it out, put it at the door. She was great with that, but it just so happened then she started to feel sick. She woke up Saturday morning and she had a high fever and she had more of the respiratory issues, which was a bigger concern because she's pregnant. So at that point, Saturday, boom, she was able to get a test pretty quick. She went Saturday, got the test, and her symptoms lasted a little longer than mine. She didn't have the fever that I did, but she really had like the respiratory and the breathing stuff. It was going on for a while, and that lasted from like Saturday really into Friday morning, where she started to turn a corner and feels a lot better. And she's doing a lot better now. She feels good. Everything is solid. But, you know, it was just definitely were a couple of days where it was a little nerve-wracking and, you know, not the most fun times, but she's feeling better and all is good. And, you know, we've kind of just been quarantined in this house right now.
Last one for you, Mike, and I've always wanted to say this to you. Be mindful of the clock with how many times you've told me that so far in the first 3 months of doing this show with you, because we're running out of time, and this has been great. I really do appreciate you sharing. But your wife, you know, you've been through 14 days, and I think today was actually your 14th day, and your wife's going through what would be 14 days from when she was first sick on what would be Friday, this upcoming Friday, if my math's correct, which usually it's not. But are you guys going to get a test to make sure that you're negative now for the coronavirus? You know, when are you going to leave the house? Because, you know, you're Dr. Brian McDonough on with us earlier, and he says, yeah, most of the time it takes 14 days, but he's seen cases where it goes longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm not going to get another test because there are people that are actually really sick and need it more. I'm not sick anymore, and as much as I'd love to know, like, exactly if I'm not shedding, if it's out of me, there's people that need it more than I do, and it wouldn't be fair, it really wouldn't, for me to have it again when I'm completely, completely not sick right now, feeling that might have it in me, when there's people that are older that are really in need of it. So I think if we got to a point where there were tests available all the time, I'd do it again, but we're not at a place right now for that, so I understand that. Yeah, and then for me, I think, you know, it's been basically 2 weeks. So, I mean, my honest answer is I want to go out, but then I also feel weird about it because I don't want to, not that anybody knows, but it's like, you know, if it is still in me, to answer your question, Zach, it's like I got to continue to live my life. I got to do things. I got to be able to get out of here. And I'm not saying I'm going to be going on adventures, but if I need to go to the grocery store and get food for my family, like, stuff has to happen. So I'm probably going to leave the house in the next day or two. Like, it just has to happen. But, you know, there is that thought in my head, like, what if I, you know, do have part of it? I, you know, there's no way to absolutely know. I can tell you, though, as the doctors have said, if you feel good for 7 days, which I have, it's most likely out of you. So my feeling is I probably beat it. It's probably gone. I'm in pretty good health. Like, I haven't been sick. I haven't had a fever like I did in 10 years. I mean, I talked about earlier the my foot and how I would get this gout issues, but never symptoms like this. So, you know, I feel good. I feel strong. So I probably will be leaving my house soon.
Is Jess feeling better real quickly?
She's feeling great. She's feeling a lot better. She really turned the corner Thursday night into Friday morning. She fell asleep like real early. Again, it's just like I did. It was like 13, 14 hours of sleep. The doctors aren't lying. Drink fluids and sleep really is the best way to get healthy. But she's doing great, yeah.
Mikey B, all the love to you and your bride. And we're excited for the baby to be coming on its way soon, right? September is the due date, right?
Yeah, the due date is actually my wife's birthday, September 4th. Her birthday, September 4th. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, we're getting a baby to the show. You got to love that. Mikey B, yeah. Be well. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, Zach.
So there's Mike Bisaglia sharing his story. Really do appreciate that. We'll take a time out. We'll wrap up shop when we return. Got to get to a little closing bell and also read some of the great social media responses that we've been getting throughout the duration of the show.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back again.
Let's get to the final poll results. If you needed a quarterback, who would you give up 3 first-round picks and then some to get the number one overall pick and draft Joe Burrow? 70.9% say no, that's way too much, and 29.1% say yes, Joe is worth it. Also, we've been asking you today, with an extra playoff team being added to each NFL conference, who is the first team that you think of that will benefit the most from this in 2020? Josh W. says the Cleveland Browns. Jonathan says Bucks, bringing in a new system plus a tougher division. Harrison says the Raiders. Alex says the Jets. Brian says Dallas. Kyle also says the Jets. Yeah, long term, maybe the Jets will benefit this. But in 2020, do we really expect the Jets to make a playoffs? Like, they have a shot. You know, a lot of teams have a shot right now. But who's Sam Darnold throwing the football to? Jeremy Williams says the Falcons. I could see that one. Brian says the Rams. I could see that one, too. And Nelson also says the Falcons, too. So some of those are some of the responses. The first team I thought of in the AFC was Cleveland. That was the first team that I thought. No excuses this year for Cleveland. They have to make the playoffs. And then the NFC, I thought of Brady and the Bucks, and I also did think of whoever loses out between Eagles and Cowboys, and then the Rams as well. Those were some of the first teams I did think of. Let's ring the closing bell. Hit it, Stu Kovacs.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, here we go. Rapid fire. Former Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski and model Camille Kostak have donated 10,000 medical-grade KN95 masks to both Boston Medical Center and St. Joseph's University Medical Center in effort to assist with the high demand for medical supplies during the coronavirus outbreak. A stock up to the Gronker and also model Camille Kostak. Also a stock up to ESPN as they're moving up The Last Dance, Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan documentary. This thing is going to be awesome. Richard Jefferson and LeBron were talking about it the other day, how they wanted this to be moved up. You ask and you shall receive. April 19th, you're going to have episodes 1 and 2 at 9 p.m. Eastern. April 26th, episodes 3 and 4 at 9 p.m. Eastern. May 3rd, episodes 5 and 6. May 10th, episodes 7 and 8. And May 17th, episodes 9 and 10, all at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're craving something to watch. We're going to need it in April, and we're going to need it in May. And I believe it's each and every Sunday night. The Last Dance will provide that. So stock up to ESPN for moving this sucker up. Also stock up to the show Tiger King. I didn't think I was ever going to watch it. That changed over the weekend and into Monday as well, where I started to convince myself, okay, now I need to watch it. It's a, you know, everyone that is, it's a crazy show. It's a wild show. I'm sure many people have watched the entire thing already. I'm on episode 2, but if you have not watched it yet, you need to. And everyone that's associated with this show, they lead a cult. Doc leads a cult. Joe Exotic leads a cult. And Carol Baskin also leads a cult, too. And I don't believe how that her husband, Carol, just all of a sudden disappeared. And no one, you know, we're supposed to believe her when she says, oh, yeah, I didn't feed it to the tiger like many people accuse her with. And you have some crazy stuff in this. Doc, how one of the girls that he was with in the show got implants. And she wanted to get the implants because she would be able to sleep with all the work that goes on that, I guess you call it reserve or in the zoo. So, you know, it's a wild show. Like, that was overlooked. I thought that was a crazy part of the show. It's not even like a top 5, 10 crazy moment. And then Joe Exotic, every time he speaks, something crazy or stupid that comes out of his mouth. And you see one of his workers get their arm ripped off by the tiger. And his first reaction was, oh, let me get on this special jacket. And then also, man, I'm never going to recover from this financially. So you're basically watching a cult in three different sectors from what I gather so far in the first two episodes of Tiger King. So a stock up to the show because it's entertainment. A stock down to Chris Godwin. He had prime real estate. He had the number 12 in Tampa. Tom Brady obviously wants it, and Chris Godwin gave it up for nothing. I would assume Tom Brady's going to give him something in return, but right now it seems as if Godwin just gave it up for his new QB1. Chris Godwin, you got to get something out of that deal. Make sure you do so. So stock down right now for Chris Godwin. Also a stock down to the extra playoff spot in the AFC and NFC. I don't love it. You know, some years, yes, a 10-6 team gets squeezed out. But a lot of other years, you know, I looked at it the last 5 years, and I know we did it the last 10 years, and you have some few exceptions. But really, when I look at this, there's a lot of teams I don't need to see in the playoffs. I need to see an 8-8 Steelers team from last year in the playoffs. No, I don't. 9-7 Rams? No. An 8-7-1 Vikings team from 2018? No. A 2017 9-7, 9-7 Ravens and Lions team? No. A 2016 9-7 Titans and Bucks team? No. An 8-8 Bills and Falcons team in 2015? No, I don't need to see that. So a stock down to adding an extra playoff spot in both the AFC and NFC.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell.
That's the closing bell. Boys and girls, we'll do it again tomorrow. Wade Phillips is going to join us. Also, Jeff Green as well. Big show lined up. Like to thank each and every one of you for listening, calling, and tweeting. Also, like to thank Mikey B, Tom D. Benedetto, and also Stu Kovacs. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. JR Sports Brief coming up next. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.